it. Here we go. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in to the Tom and Curly Show. Let's see. Lots of news to get to. Let's dive into it. All right. 15,000, 21,000, how many Haitians altogether have been coming in and moving right across the Rio there, come right through about knee-deep water and then go underneath the bridge?
More than 12,000.
More than 12,000. I know they've picked up about 3,000 and then sent them out. So this is just one more thing that the Biden administration is having to deal with. Afghanistan, we find out that the Predator drone wiped out a family. We find out that inflation might not be transitory. We find out that we have a border crisis that's still in place. A variety of problems, including COVID and the fact that the White House seemed to be ahead of the FDA when it came to the booster shots. So this might explain why Biden is really experiencing some cratering numbers. I watched some Sunday show cuts and they were saying, gosh, what do we do? How do they get their feet underneath them? They've really been struggling for the last 6 months. The media continuing to make excuses for an incompetent president. That's the way I see it anyway. That's why I've got a radio show. Here is LeVar Burton talking about not making the Jeopardy. No, I'm kidding.
Let's see. Hang on. Even Fox, Chris Wallace had news. You'd assume that his numbers would be cratering. And even on Fox News, and he announced it on his big poll, he's still above water on the whole COVID business. We think the suspicion is that COVID is going to ultimately sink him if his administration is sunk, because that was the number one concern of Americans. But right now, even though, news hasn't been great on that front, they still, give him, I think it was up in the 60s, and now it's hovering around 53. So it's dropped,
right.
But still.
Right. Okay, fine. So he's on his
way. Not done yet.
That's not, by the way, polls, whatever they're worth, the number one concern for Americans now is not COVID. You know what it is?
No, I thought it was still COVID.
It's inflation. It's inflation. That's according to Wall Street Journal today. Because people are paying higher on everything as inflation continues to soar. Because when you print money but have nothing behind it, you get a thing called inflation. But let's talk about the inflated number of Haitians that are rolling in.
More than 300 Haitians arrived back in their home country Sunday. And more deportation flights are planned this week as the U.S. government tries to process the more than 12,000 migrants camped out near Del Rio, Texas. One migrant says he was in detention for 4 days in the U.S.
Utan, that was French. Did you get any of that? I know you had been in France for a little while. That was French they were speaking, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Port-au-Prince Haitian French. I'm not
sure. Oh, I'm sorry.
I can pick up on that.
Okay, got it.
Yes. I'm good, but I'm not that good.
4 days without brushing his teeth, 4 days without a shower. Many of the migrants tried to cross the Rio Grande over the weekend, but were confronted by Border Patrol agents on horseback. 36-year-old Haitian migrant Alex Rossier says if he is deported, he will die in Haiti because there's no security in the country. Valverde County Sheriff Joe Frank Martinez wants the federal government to do more.
It takes too long to process an asylum claim. You know, the system has been broke for 40, 50 years. It's used as a political football, from one agenda to the next.
Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas says the U.S. government is working to move thousands of the migrants every day to processing centers.
We have sent a very clear message early on, in light of the fact that we are in the midst of a pandemic, that the border is not open and people should not take the perilous journey here.
Not so perilous, right? However they get there, they cross and then they sit under the bridge as they've been there now for a while. They took 3,000 out. The message doesn't get out because they believe that you can come here and that you can then kind of go through some sort of process or something, and then you will be allowed to go into the United States to work, to live your life, and then you're supposed to come back in order to appear in court. Axios, which is not exactly a conservative outfit, followed along in the story that I had seen that they followed 50,000 people that snuck into the country, and then altogether they found that 27,000 of them basically have never come back again. 6,700 of them showed up in mid-March in order to go to the offices where they're supposed to report. So what the United States government was doing was bringing you in, basically letting you go. This is for those from South America, and then asking you to come back again. The Haitians that they've got under the bridge, they're picking them up and flying them, I assume, back to Haiti.
Haiti.
Yes.
Yeah. So what's interesting about this is that, yeah, I think we're fusing two stories. The Haitians, they're playing hardball. They're not letting any in. There are two things that can happen to a migrant at the border. There's apprehension and expulsion. And the apprehension is what you're talking about, where they bring you in and they try to process you. Expulsion is when they just turn you right around and fly you out.
Right.
And with these Haitians, there are so many of them, they're just immediately flying them back. And what's fascinating about this is they're flying them back to Haiti.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, that's not where they're coming from. At least in this profile, the AP profile, most of them have come from South America. Haiti has been, you know, a really a tough country to live in for, mm-hmm. you know, for over a decade now. And they keep having these horrific natural disasters.
Yes.
And now the president was just assassinated. So I thought it was because of the present conditions that were so hellacious. A lot of these people left 5 years ago and longer and settled, like they profiled one couple from Chile, and they finally come up. They make it up to the border because things were okay in Chile for a while. And then they decided, look, we have better chances in America for our good, and I can send money back to Haiti. And now they're being flown to Haiti, and one of the people say, well, they're just going to bide their time in Haiti because they don't feel safe in Haiti, and then they're going to try to win their way back to Chile. So this whole process the problem is Haiti is a tough place to live.
Yes,
economically,
well,
and it's,
right.
the safety is an issue.
Yeah. Well, we don't have any real strong border protection, so this is just part of the ongoing mess that started. Actually, it was the executive order that President Biden signed right on there the first day, basically saying he's going to reverse a lot of the policies that Trump had put in place. And then I know a judge down there flipped that thing on its ear, and they had to deal with it. Yeah.
And then with COVID, Trump, Biden is now using Trump's tough process to justify expelling all these people or not processing these people, as he had it seemed to indicate during his campaign, because we've got COVID concerns. He's actually benefiting. I think this expulsion is happening beneficially for Biden because Trump was so hard that they just haven't lifted the rules that Trump put in place.
I had seen that the Democrats try to sneak in there this under the $3.5 trillion proposal, which was half of what Bernie Sanders, a socialist that heads up the committee, was hoping for. They tried to slide in there this whole immigration idea that you basically would have about 8 million immigrants would automatically sort of be processed through. The Dreamer thing would go through. And then if you came into America from January this year, even if you just come in, not like when you were brought over when you were a kid, you could also be swept up and then on way to becoming an American citizen. And then, of course, vote for a Democrat. That's what they're ultimately hoping for. And it looks like that. I'm sorry, you can't put that in place. That's not a piece of legislation that has to do with a budgetary move. So the good news is that the parliamentarian that's in charge of this said, no, that's not part of taxes. That's not part of revenue. That's not really, that's separate. So you have to pull that part of it out. So they have to start over again and get that piece voted on.
Okay, so but first off, they weren't trying to sneak it through. There's been all this talk. They knew they had the parliamentarian looks at everything in these reconciliations. So everything was above board on that score. They were thinking that you can justify it because if they did allow for this, it definitely would have an impact on the economy. Now the Republicans would say it would hurt the economy. The Democrats say it would help the economy. But the idea, the justification the Democrats were arguing was that if we allowed for all these Dreamers, that would be a good thing for the economy, and that's the justification for the reconciliation. And the parliamentarian said no. Now, the parliamentarian doesn't have any, there's as much power in the parliamentarian's hands as it's given by Congress. And so a lot of advocates for the Dreamers say, listen, that was just advisory. You don't have to follow that. But they think politically, it's just not a good move to rule against, to go against the parliamentarian, even if you can.
Yeah.
And Mitch McConnell, who loves a good hardball, you know, when he can throw it, said, listen, I understand. I would probably try as hard as I could to get this stuff through, but the parliamentarian, you know, is on good grounds, and I think they'll have to take that. They will take that part out. The Democrats. I don't think they want to risk it since they have such a slim majority in the Senate anyway.
Why do they care so much about wanting to have immigrants come into this country? Is it because they know ultimately that's more voters?
No, I really
for Democrats.
See, I think that is such a funny idea. The Republicans are convinced that anything that the Democrats do, they only do it because they think it's going to benefit the Democratic Party. Rather than thinking that just feels like the right thing to do. And the weird thing is, there are a lot of Republicans that agree with that. A lot of Republicans, even Trump, was a little nervous about going against the Dreamers. That, you know, through no fault of their own, they were, you know, brought to this country. So I don't understand why the Republicans don't get behind this as well and say yes, this is actually good. It also it's 1 million farm workers. Why wouldn't we want farm workers? They're doing work that that we can't get other Americans to do. I would think that there'd be a lot of reasons why Republicans would want this. I don't think it's a set thing. We've often talked about this. The Hispanic community, the way they value family and religion, there are inroads that Republicans can make with them politically. I think in this case, we should do the right thing and let the Dreamers give them a path to citizenship. Personally,
I don't call them Dreamers. Kids whose parents cheated the system. The number of Hispanics that are now living in this country that voted for Republicans, and those numbers begin to turn more and more towards Republicans Democratic Party moves further and further into loony land. Most of the Hispanics that come in here simply don't agree with the sort of the intersectionality that is occurring in the Democratic Party. So, yeah, you'll get them, but ultimately you have to set up a variety of rules, which they learn the language, and that they make them pay some sort of fine or something, but something in line. Most of the studies and polls that I had seen, people that had legitimately followed the rules, filled out the paperwork, waited 7 years. A friend of mine who works in Bellevue, he said, my parents, he said I was too young at the time, they waited. They did what they were supposed to do. They applied. They did the whole thing. They didn't crash through the border. He said that we waited almost 9 years. Finally, they get the call. They came in, legitimately jumped in. They didn't jump through the line. Those that jump the line, think about it. You jump the line at a ferry on a Friday morning, a Friday afternoon or a Sunday or something. People will shoot you, right? It's the idea that you could just simply come across at any place, say, oh, I'm getting asylum or something. They go to process you. They give you a piece of paper. They come back in a couple of months, come back a year from now for your court case as you disappear into America. There has to be some system and law in place. If not, we are not a country if we don't have borders to defend and borders that are clearly defined that this is America and these are the people who want to get here. Follow the process and come on in. Yes, we need workers. Yes, you need farm workers. You want to set up a temporary program or something so people come in and pick and then leave. That's fine. But at least respect the fact that this is a country. There are people in part of the Democratic Party that want to let everybody in. Right? They don't want borders.
Well, no, I don't.
Walls keep people out. Let's build bridges, not walls. No,
that's true.
Walls do keep people out, right?
The way our economy is structured, we end up using these people, whether they're legitimate or not. And that's the kind of the irony. We'd be in worse shape if we didn't have all these undocumented workers in working the farms and all. So there is that kind of irony there. I just think that these Dreamers have been around. They're now going to college. They're serving in the military. They are productive members of society.
Small percentage go to college. Tiny.
Well, the thing is,
tiny. The number of them that are illiterate.
I don't think
quote,
so,
unquote,
John.
I'll send you
and
the numbers.
In the military,
small percentage overall.
Economically, they're better off. And I also think even the people that played by the rules, as you say, even they probably aren't as hard on the Dreamers as you would like them to be, perhaps, because they're related. They're often relatives, or they know people from the same hometown. They know the situations that they're fleeing from, so that there's a lot more sympathy within the Hispanic community for these Dreamers. Now, no one's saying the parents that snuck them in that did do that illegally are getting citizenship, but it's just the kids who just follow along with whatever their parents do. I think there's a lot of sympathy even among Republicans for that.
24% of DACA eligible illegal aliens are functionally literate. 24%
in English or in Spanish or Mexican. You know,
I'd like them to read English.
Okay, but the thing is, the nice thing is, if they're living in this country, they end up learning English.
No, they don't.
Oh, I bet among the Dreamers. See, that would be a good stat.
These are the Dreamers, Tom. These are the DACA eligible illegal aliens.
Okay,
functionally illiterate. 24%. Are functionally illiterate.
76% are fluent in English.
Yeah, the idea that this idea that they are the greatest of the greatest, that, you know, that these people, listen, that the idea that other just these,
you know. I'm not saying they're the greatest of the greatest.
Right, no.
A lot of them can be productive.
Yes.
And they're not a drain. They are seen as a positive to the tax base in this country if they became citizens.
I agree. Listen. Having worked in the restaurant business, the hardest working people in the restaurant business are the Mexicans. The hardest working group of people when it comes to roofing and carpentry are Mexicans.
Okay.
The guys, get that, right, I get that. I'm just saying, at the same time, you need to be able to have a border. There was a time where Nancy Pelosi was all in favor of the border wall. So was Chuck Schumer. They liked the idea. There's spent the money on it. Joe Biden voted yes on the border wall.
Yes.
That you have to be able to have borders that are respected, or you don't have a country. And we have a failed president who's failing at the border, and it would be nice to see the media still have that sort of blood in their eyes and saliva dripping off their chin to go after Joe Biden as they did on Trump on the borders. Because remember, we were down there, and kids were in cages. Oh, the cages built by the Obama administration. So, by the way, FAA, nice job for stopping Fox. Nice job stopping Fox from having a drone fly over and get pictures.
Oh, wow.
And it was also nice to be able to have the helicopters
kitchen sink,
there.
John.
Oh, is that really? Okay, fine.
You're just throwing everything.
Yeah, because Tom, the amazing thing is the hypocrisy of this media is far more apparent now. Oh, please. Oh, that's right. Right. The Washington Post has no bias. Either does the New York Times.
Why do you root against our country, John?
Because Tom,
as long as Biden's in control.
Oh, that's right. I don't remember how supportive you were of Donald Trump. Tracy Taylor's got to look at traffic for it. A little bit of Kiel Mortgage, 1-888-778 KIEL, Laura Kiel, and everybody at Kiel Mortgage anxious to help you if you want to refinance that house of your take. Advantage of historically low mortgages. They're still historically low. Tom, we're going to move things around a little bit. I can get a chance to text you or not, but the news on the young woman whose body was found in Wyoming, believed to be that of the missing woman, Gabby Petito, as this case breaks. You're going to think this is so odd coming from me, but I just looked it up. It's called the White Woman Missing Syndrome in the news. The fact that these stories, if you are white and pretty and innocent, it's the damsel in distress syndrome. And I tried to see a study that was done. Both the UK, Canada, and the United States cover these stories far more if they've got video.
Sure.
And if the girl is blonde, and if she is white, and if she comes from upper middle class, or considered to be innocent in the sense that, like, not a drug addict, not running around with some guy who's a drug dealer or a murderer or something like that. But just overall, the media just gravitates to these things. Remember, it was Natalie Hollowell who was the one that was in Aruba, and that thing just dominated the airspace.
Yeah.
When Chris Cuomo was asked about, why are you covering some, I can't help it, this is what people want to watch. Hollowell's family were upset because Hurricane Katrina ended up sort of blowing that whole entire coverage away. And they were mad that it wasn't still in the news. And those two or three young men that were in Aruba at the time that should have been questioned weren't. And the whole thing just sort of faded away. Her body was never found. So when I see stories like this, I'm thinking, for every one of these women, as horrible as this is, there's probably like 30 of somebody else that gets zero coverage. And can you imagine being some mom of a young black man or a mom of a young black daughter who's got does nothing, nobody. And you're sitting there and you're watching this wall-to-wall coverage because there's so much video because TV wants to have the video. And these guys basically live their life on social media. And now that's why CNN covers this.
FBI investigators announcing a body was discovered in the Grand Teton National Forest, saying it could be missing 22-year-old Gabby Petito.
Human remains were discovered consistent with the description of Gabby Petito. Full forensic identification has not been completed to confirm 100% that we found Gabby, but her family has been notified of this discovery.
Petito disappearing on a cross-country drive with her fiancé, Brian Laundrie, last month. The couple documenting their journey on social media.
Good morning. It is really nice and sunny today.
Posting photos and videos of their trip starting in July with plans to end in Oregon in October. But Petito's family says they lost contact with her at the end of August.
I don't know, we just didn't fight it one morning.
About 2 weeks after police in Moab, Utah responded to a report of disorderly conduct between the couple. After the incident, police filing a report saying Petito and Laundry engaged in some sort of altercation. No charges were filed. Laundry returning to Florida with...
Hold on a second. Wasn't there a 911 call that was just released, Jacob, that apparently someone called into the police and saw the two of them fighting or something like that?
That sounds familiar. Yeah, there's a few witnesses to that, I think.
CBS at the top of the hour. And in this case, unlike the case with the Utah authorities, where she had scratched his face and they were concerned about her attacking him. In this case, these eyewitnesses said that they saw him slapping her and then getting in the car and driving off on August 12th, which is around the same time that they were stopped in Utah.
Right, here's the last part of the story.
Out her on September 1st. 10 days later, Petito was reported missing.
My gut tells me that something bad happened. And I'm never going to be able to hold my baby girl again.
Now, the search is on for Laundry, who has disappeared. Federal and local authorities launching a massive effort looking for the 23-year-old at this nature reserve. Laundry's parents saying Friday they last saw him on Tuesday.
His family says that this is a place that he frequents. They also believe that this is where he came.
Okay. You made a bold prediction, Tom, in the pre-show meeting.
Yeah, I might be willing to amend it now, but I'd heard that he had sort of disappeared into, big forest natural reserve. It's like 200, miles or something. I don't know. It's some big place. And I just thought that I wouldn't be surprised if the next body found is his. He knows he's cooked if he really did do this. Now, again, I don't know, but the assumption seems to be that if he didn't do this, he knew something and he was hiding it. But if he was involved as badly as we're afraid he was, I can't imagine that he just doesn't take his own life. Now, they did say that they've spent the last two or three days combing over this huge reserve, and they say there's no evidence, there's no sign of him, so they're shifting the focus of their search. So if that's the case, then, maybe he is, just gone underground and is trying to, flee the country or something. I don't know. But his behavior was obviously and immediately suspicious, but no one had any real evidence that anything untoward had gone on until a couple days ago when they found what they are pretty sure are her remains.
The dad, which this always shocks me, I'm assuming maybe you're in some sort of weird, disassociated state. Mm-hmm. I don't know how. This guy goes on Dr. Phil. The father goes on Dr. Phil talking about his daughter, right? That they dated for 2.5 years. That the young man, their boyfriend, was always respectful. During the interview, it was recorded. His daughter's body was found. Petito and couple had taken the trip. The fact that they find her, what they believe to be her, and you're right, they eventually get him. But then the stories, whether it's her or remember Peterson, the guy that took his wife
Scott
out. Scott Peterson, and then
same
they caught him.
He's in, story.
Same sort of thing, right? It's a case that because they're cute, right? I mean, that's a really, really simple way of putting it, but it's the fascination of this example of, like, look at this. They just happen to be wrong with somebody. They get caught. I don't know. I naturally now have that when that Natalie Holloway story, Nancy Grace and CNN and just kept following it every night, every single night. You'd turn it on and watch it. It's like, okay, it's tragic. It's horrible. But really, do we need to go hour upon hour upon hour on something like that? I don't know why. It just bothers me. Does that bother you?
Yes. In fact, I was happy that we hadn't touched the story. I had been seeing it. Fox covered it as well. I think it's a staple for cable channels. And I kept thinking that I was glad that we as a show hadn't brought it up. It's now risen to the point that everybody, it's like, topping the news. Enough people know about it that I do feel like we do a disservice if we just ignore that it's happening. But I do think it's the announcement that there are 90,000 missing persons cases in this country.
Yeah.
And we know about two or three of them. And yeah, there's been a ever since this movie called Wind River came out, there's been a publicity trying to highlight how many Native American women have, you know, gone missing over the years, and it's gotten no attention.
Yeah.
This is like the anti case of that, that this is something that's gotten untoward coverage. I will say, in defense of the networks and in defense of the cable news, they're, because they are social media presence, they have a social media presence, there are lots of people in the social media who followed them. People know who they are. They're not celebrities to us, John, and they're probably not celebrities, but they're people that are known in that world, and in that world, this is a big deal. I think that's it's a perfect sort of a calling card for what life is like in the 21st century right now. Social media can predominate news coverage.
Yeah, and if you think it's just sort of a U.S. thing, the study that I'd seen, Canada and the United States, the U.K.,
Great Britain,
South Africa, they all do this. And there's even one here in Greece that following the presumed kidnap of the blonde angel in Greece and how that's covered. So, I mean, and then the case in Italy with, what's her name? She's from here, the one with the stabbing thing.
Amanda Fox.
Amanda
Fox. Foxy Noxy, right? They cover that whole thing.
Sorry, Knox is the correct name. Thank you.
Thank you, Jacob. All right, Tracy Taylor's looking at traffic. How are we doing out there? All right. Tom McCurley Show, write to us at MyNorthWest.com. Text as well. Come on in, everybody, through the State Roofing text line 98973. To love, to fear from you. LeVar Burton, who got passed over on the Jeopardy job, and then much to Jacob's chagrin, somebody else who he referred to, or Tom called him a mannequin, but you didn't say anything nice about him. You just liked the fact that Aaron Rodgers didn't get the job. I don't know where you were on LeVar Burton, but now that it's sort of, now the storm has passed and they've gone another direction, Burton said...
The crazy thing is that, you know, when you set your sights on something, you know, they say be careful of what you wish for, because what I found out is that it wasn't the thing that I wanted after all. What I wanted was to compete. I mean, I wanted the job, right? But then when I didn't get it, it was like, well, okay, well, what's next? And so the opportunities that have come my way as a result of not getting that gig, I couldn't have dreamt it up. If you had given me a pen and paper and said, well, so what do you want this to really look like?
Right, right.
If it doesn't include Jeopardy, I wouldn't have been this generous.
That's the shipwreck that leads you to the magical island.
That's it, exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
That's right.
That's what that is.
That's right. Then you were meant to be on that island.
We focus on the shipwreck.
Right.
We don't think about the island that it got us to.
The island was where you were meant to be all along.
Wow.
See, John, I figured you could relate. You wanted to retire as the longest running host of Evening Magazine when you didn't quite make that.
No,
instead, you found the magical island of the Tom and Curly show.
Nice try, Tom.
And you're happier.
I didn't even know that was a part. Felix kept bringing that up.
But there's got to be some sort of game show in and around books. There's got to be something in that world.
We are working on creating exactly what that is. The thing is, I never thought about hosting any other game show outside of Jeopardy. But now, having they went in a different direction with their show, which is their right, and now I'm thinking, well, it does kind of make sense. Let me see what I can do. So we're trying to figure out what the right game show for LeVar Burton would be.
Okay, well, give up on that idea, because the chance of that thing going anywhere, the reason Jeopardy has got, what is it, 27, 20, I don't know how many years I've been doing that thing, right?
Yeah.
New game shows and stuff, very hard to do. LeVar Burton realized, wow, a lot of people love me, which is great. Mm-hmm. 300,000 people signed some sort of thing saying, hey, get LeVar Burton in there. That's fine dandy. And now his agent's fielding a bunch of opportunities because his name has come up and now he's popular. Yeah. But, you know, step up and do a brand new game show. Yeah, good luck. Yeah. I think the other thing is, like, you know, they weren't chosen. So then they come back around to you, and you're like, you know what? Screw you. You didn't choose me the first time. You got this other guy in there.
I don't believe
that. Now you're coming back around. You don't believe that.
I think all that talk was brave talk. And if they came back and said, you know, we really screwed up with this Mike Richards guy, and we don't think Ken Jennings and me and Bialik are going to be able to pull this off, how about we start you January 2nd, you know, 2022? I bet he'd take it in a second.
Oh, so they have not come back to him at all.
No, they haven't. I mean, they now have said that they're putting in. Yeah, maybe you missed this when you were gone, but yeah. So they've named till the end of the year. They're going to go between Mayim Bialik and Ken Jennings back and forth till the end of the year, and then they'll try to find somebody new. So I think he might be in the running.
I see. So the magical so the shipwrecked is and the magical island is basically deserted, right? Right. Oh, okay, fine. So he's there with a couple of coconuts.
Just
okay. Oh, okay. All right. I thought maybe they came back around, but nope.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nope. Right. Not yet, at least.